Welcome back to another episode of Laundry, Yard Work, and Jesus. I am Pastor Joe.
And I'm Pastor Josh.
And it is good to be back together talking. We just had a really good Mother's Day service. It was filled with a bunch of people loving their mamas by coming to church to love Jesus, which is good.
That is good. That's always one of my favorite things is to see a child dedication and a church commit to come alongside families. It's such a cool thing.
That is one of my favorite things. Another one of my favorite things is the photo booth that Corey set up for for Mother's Day and watching people take pictures because everyone's excited to take a picture with mom. Let's go get this. It's a chance to have a free family photo, but there's always someone who doesn't want to be in the picture, but doesn't want to say they don't want to be in the picture. But you can watch their faces and you can tell exactly who that person is. It's
I love
great.
it.
It's a lot of fun.
It is. It's so much fun. And I missed it yesterday. I didn't see anyone taking pictures, but I have seen some posts on social media, which is good. And fun story, I texted my mom last night and told her or asked, "Hey, do you have any pictures of us together? I was going to post a little thing about Happy Mother's Day on Facebook." And she goes, "Son, I don't think I do. It's okay. I don't need to be Facebook famous." So I don't know if that's good or bad, but
Got her priorities right. Look, you shouldn't look at it like she doesn't want to be seen with you in public. You should be looking at it as she's got her feet stuck in the real world, you know?
yeah, and it's a mother's love that thinks my Facebook page can make her Facebook famous
There we
because
go.
that's not true.
There we go. Well, it's a little true. It's a little true. You could end up on one of those awkward family photos, like collaborations where they put montages together of awkward family photos. That's fun. Get seen
That's
that way.
true. That's
But
true.
so we're talking today. Moving on that dealing with family, having us in that family mindset, and we're thinking about family ministry and. Generally, just want to ask the question this week, like, what's the point? Like, what's the point of parenthood in the first place? So I remember a time, I don't know, Josh, if you will remember this time, but I remember this time when we didn't have the ability to text people all the time. Like since I've been an adult, I've been able to have a cell phone I can call, but we didn't always text and people still didn't necessarily answer their phone. So I can remember times where I've been sent to go to like Walmart to pick something up and they told me, "Do you want to write this down?" And I said, "No, I'm going to remember it. Don't worry about it. It's only like three things, no big deal." And then I get to Walmart and then I go see the things that I want to look at and then I go to pick up the thing I'm supposed to get there and I don't remember. Like I remember there's three things and two of the things I remember, but the last thing I was supposed to get, I couldn't remember. And you don't want to call them and ask for help. They might not answer. Texting again wasn't a thing. So I can't tell you how many times I've just walked around aimlessly at Walmart, knowing I was in the right place and I had a job to do, but I couldn't remember why I was there or what I was supposed to get out of it.
You
And
know, sorry, go
no, go
ahead.
ahead. You go ahead.
I just want you to know you're not alone. I have grown up in a world where I've been able to text people since I was at least in the 8th grade. Okay. It was T9 text messaging, but it still counts. And I have still found myself as an adult when my wonderful wife calls me and says, "Can you get three things or four things from Food City?" And I have found myself aimlessly wandering the aisles, hoping I can remember one or two of those things for at least 15 minutes, deciding, do I want to call her and admit I'd forgotten this, or do I just want to hope for the best?
Yeah, see, back
I've
then
been there.
I had an excuse. Now it's just pride that stops us. Now, we just keep on making that mistake just because we don't want to fess up to it. But I got to thinking that's sometimes what parenting can feel like. Like we know we have an important job. We know the church is supposed to be part of it. We know Jesus is absolutely supposed to be part of it. We dedicated children yesterday. We affirm that the God's roles in putting the family together and how important parents are in raising those kids. But I thought it was a, I thought parent dedication Sunday right after graduate Sunday, set our sending service. I think those two things are really good bookends, almost in reverse. You know, like we dedicate the parents' child to raise them in the church, and then or raise them not so much in the church, but so much in a godly home in a godly way, and then which includes the church, of course, and then graduate sending Sundays where we're actually launching them out there. And so often as we get lost in the weeds as parenting, where we get caught up in the mundane of the day to day to day to day, and it's easiest for us to forget what it what that actually looks like and what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. No, I think that's 100% true. And it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day because, as I was remember reading this as we were getting ready for our kids to be born, that the days are long, but the years are short. And that is such a true statement. And so when those days are long, it's easy to just miss why am I doing all this? And it's a hard thing to keep that in front of us often.
It is. And I don't think it gets any necessarily easier, because like if you know this when you work with parents, and particularly in the high school, right? And they're getting ready for college and they're talking scholarships and applications, or if not college, what's next, you know? And you spend so much time investing in another life, it can be very hard to let that go and to let them fly. It's not just a task oriented, like, hey, we forget, checkbox, checkbox, checkbox. But there are times where we want to forget what the end goal is, that we want to forget that the end goal is to send the kids out into the world to further the kingdom of God, in whatever realm that ends up in, just because sometimes we. The problem is that we forget. The problem is that we remember. We want to reject that, and we want to keep the kids as close as possible.
Yeah, and so as we think through this then, we had talked about this earlier. Is there any place in God's word that helps us think through this and how we can approach this wisely and honoring God as we keep the goal in mind?
There are a bunch of places. There are a lot of, God is not silent when it comes to families and children and parents and how to go. But the first one that kind of came to my mind as we were talking this is the parable of talents found in Matthew 25. We talk about that a lot of times in terms of like giving or in terms of service. Just a quick recap, you have the master who represents God, and he is going away on a trip. And so he leaves one servant with one talent. One servant with two talents and one servant with was it four talents? Five talents, sorry, my bad. And so he goes away and he says, work, you're in charge. You're stewarding. It's never their money. It's never their gold. It's never their silver. It's always the master's, but he's left them in charge of it to steward it, to grow and to multiply and to further his influence. And the person with five talents doubles it. The person with two talents doubles it, and is richly rewarded. They're both richly rewarded. And that's where we get the phrase, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This is where they are commended both for their effort and their results. But the person with one talent says he knew that the job was hard, and he knew that the job was tough and that the master was demanding, and he didn't want to lose it. He didn't want to botch it. He didn't want to mess it up. So he buried it in the ground, and he just gave back what was originally the master's in the first place without any growth. And that person is kicked out. Like, that's a picture of someone who doesn't actually understand faith or doesn't have a real relationship with God and is removed from the kingdom, which is a really tough truth. But when we think about it with parents and kids and families, we gotta understand those kids are not ours. My three kids, we say they're our kids, and they are, but also they're God's. I'm not an owner of my three kids. I am a steward of my three kids, and God wants me to do something with that, with their lives and the time that I have with them, not just bury it, protect them, insulate them as much as possible. there needs to be growth and flourishing too.
Yeah. Now, and I think that is super helpful because we often forget that. We say they're my kids. And in a sense, that is true. They are mine in that they're my responsibility. But one day I have to understand that I have been entrusted these kids by the Lord. And that comes with the responsibility of raising them to know his ways and to live for his glory and goodness in the world as they grow up. And it's always been helpful to me to think about this and remember this because it gives me perspective in the hard moments, but it also helps me to enjoy the seasons as they come because I know they are not going to last. And my goal is to send them out. I love the Psalm 127 analogy of their arrows in the hand of a warrior. And, an arrow, you want it to be both sharp and to be shot straight. And that's kind of the two things is we are sharpening our kids to go into the world to become men and women who are sharp, but who also have been sent out with a purpose. And that is what all of those days of whether that's discipline or teaching or coaching or changing diapers or the stress of it all of it is leading to that moment where we are sending them into the world as men and women prepared to live for the glory of God. And I think that helps us walk through certain things of parenting in a different way.
I agree. And I also want to say that we wanted to speak in biblical terms and try to have a kingdom mindset here rather than just an American or a Western one. And I'd say that as a proud American, but for a long time it was okay, they're your kids until they're 18 and then they're an adult. And now you kick them out of the house. You're either going to go to college or you're going to join the military or you're going to get a job and you're going to move out. And if you don't do that, if they're not moved out by 18 or 20 or 21, then there's a real stigma that can be attached to that. Because there certainly is an unhealthiness to a child never leaving the family's home. But there is a difference between a child being unwilling to leave or a parent being unwilling to send and interest rates are 6% and they can't get a house or job. And it's just going to take a little bit longer these days to get them to get them planted, not from a lack of effort, but just from a reality of where we are, than maybe it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. So I want to be sensitive to that. But at the same time, the goal is eventually to launch them. So Josh, having done, just recently the sending service and been doing this for a while, are there any like tips or pointers you might be able to give to help parents keep that perspective, particularly so that they are ready to launch them whenever that time it comes?
Yeah, I think one of the most helpful things that I have seen and read about this topic, and it comes from a guy, he's a counselor named Paul Tripp, and he's written really two books. The best one that I would argue is his Parenting 14 Gospel Principles
Oh,
book.
fantastic.
And he divides it into four phases. He's got, I had to look this up, and he's got the disciple phase, which is ages 0 to 5. The trainer phase, which is ages 6 to 12, and he says that's heart instruction in that time period. Then he's got the coaching phase, which is ages 13 through 18, and he calls that guided independence. And I think one of the things I've seen parents do this well is they understand that in that age range, you go from being the primary authority and controller of your child to shifting to the primary influencer of your child. And I don't mean you're posting videos on social media, influencer, but your voice has an influence in their life. And you understand that and you use that for the glory of God. And I think that those are the parents that I have seen walk through this in a way that they still get to enjoy their kids when their kids are in their 30s because they understood I can't control this 16-year-old, but I can influence them. And yes, none of that is clear. There's a whole lot of gray in all of it. But I think when you keep this principle of authority to influencer, authoritarian to influencer, that really helps in that process.
I've thought of an illustration for this. I've got an illustration for this. So when we've got a lawn guy who mows for us now. Our landlord has that. But when I had to mow my own lawn, we also had like a little bubble blower lawn mower, for the kids. And so what would happen is inevitably, I would get the lawnmower out and I would start going at it. And my kids would be outside. And particularly the youngest one, will go get the bubble blower and start imitating me and mow our driveway while I'm mowing the grass. He's mowing the driveway, right? That is like that early stage. You're modeling what they're supposed to do, and there's an imitation that comes. But then with the older kids, I bring them on and I hold it down, but they kind of get in between my arms and I mow the lawn alongside them. I'm going with them. I'm helping them. I still have my hands on the wheels, but I'm letting them participate in the process as well. And then eventually I'm going to give them a stretch of land and let them go while with supervision. And then eventually mowing the lawn's going to be their job. And I'm going to go do something else while they're doing it. So in kind of in that sense, there's a gradual process to this, but the eventual goal is for them to be able to do the job that at the front only I could do. And I hopefully at the end will have replicated myself so that they are competent in doing this, and I can either help them or I can go and work on someone else. And we've multiplied our efforts in maintaining the lawn. I think in the church is a very similar way. We need to be modeling service. When our kids need to see us serving, our kids need to see us worshiping, see us studying God's word, and then find ways to integrate them and invite them into that process with us, with a growing amount of responsibility till we get to the point where you can lead your own Bible study. You can call the family together to pray. You can let us know what's going on. You can serve in the church on your own. You don't need mom and dad to be in the same ministry as you. You can go and do this. And we are multiplying ourselves, and keeping the fuel for the church going.
I love that. And I think that is when you live knowing the job, knowing the purpose and the role that you play. I think it helps you enjoy all those other seasons a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like when I know that right now my kids are ages 7 and almost 9, that I don't have to worry about them preparing them to get a job one day. We can just hang out and have fun and enjoy the laughter. I know that right now I'm teaching them, I'm instructing them on why we do what we do. When one of them, we've had this instance recently where we've discovered some new words that existed in the world. Okay.
Okay.
Some words that aren't exactly appropriate to say. And I was walking through the hall and I heard one of my kids say this because they had heard it on a TV show. And in this season of life, it's instructing, right? It's like, hey,
Yes.
listen, we don't say that word. Like, I don't have to go then leave them and wonder what kind of child have I raised that they're using that kind of language.
Yeah.
But I can look and say, you know what? This is what God has put me here for. He's put me here to instruct them and teach them what it looks like to live in a world that is broken and in need of Jesus, and to be those people who are going to bring Jesus into this world. And so we can have conversations, and I can enjoy that as opposed to just getting angry and saying, how dare you? We don't use that kind of
Yeah.
language. Now, again, I made clear we don't use that kind of
Sure, of
language.
course.
Don't mishear that. But it's helped me to enjoy those moments and understand this is where we are, and we are headed to where they can be men and women who stand on the word of God and live for the glory of God.
Absolutely. And knowing what phase you're in, what season you're in, I think really enables you to do that. Because there's a time to let go and let them kind of go and make their mistakes and be the safety net and the influencer to help them with that. There are times where you need that instruction. There are other times you didn't. I'm reminded of a great Bluey episode, as I usually am. One of my kids' favorite Bluey episodes is the dad is trying to get his two daughters, Bluey and Bingo, to play chess. And he wants to teach them how to play chess because smart people play chess and he wants them to be smart. And he wants to spend time with them. And all they want to do is play knights and horses, and they don't want anyone to die. And they've named them, and they've got this thing. And there's a great line at the end where the mom comes along and helps him to see that yes, his goal is fantastic, but they're also like four
Yeah.
and six. And she says, there will be times to work on their head later, but for now, just work on their heart. And there's times for knowing what season you're in, but there are just times where you just sit there and you just let it be messy, but you love them. And then there are times where more instruction is needed because they actually do need to learn how to play chess at some point in time. You know?
Man, that is so appropriate that you throw out a Bluey episode
Absolutely. Of
illustration.
course. I'd do it every
That's
week if I could. If you would let me, I think if I did every week, you would stop. This would be the end of it.
One week we just need to give like a Bluey episode debrief. Just pick one of the episodes and give a short debrief on it.
I'll do it. I'll do it. Are you kidding?
We recently had this, I'm going to say, constructive conversation at my house
Okay.
about whether Bluey is a baby show or if it's appropriate for all people. And I think it's appropriate for every age. I'm fully on board with
Oh, it
that.
absolutely is. It very much is. I love it because it's not woke or in any way. Say that's a little inside joke to Josh, but it's a just really well written show about family. And I think not you know, we didn't start this podcast even thinking we were going to be talking about this at all. So I don't mean to blow, but I appreciate a show that a kid's show that will entertain the kids and also hit some emotional beats for the parents too, and just highlights how important the family unit is, even from a non-Christian perspective. I don't know the creators, whether they're believers or not. But even assuming they're not, family is important. It matters. And all people, the fact that a wholesome family show has resonated as well as it does, I think speaks to a deep need we have as a people and a culture.
I would agree with that and kind of bring it back to this topic. Bluey has an episode where you see Bluey come back as an adult and bring the grandkids
It wrecked
back
me.
home.
It wrecked
And
me.
it did. I mean, it's a tear-jerking episode. However, it reminds us that our role as parents is going to go on for a long time.
Absolutely.
And
And Lord willing, that role will turn into grandparents too. That's the thing.
yeah.
You don't have to lose all the fun stuff. Oh, my kids are little. I can't wait for them to grow up. And when they grow up, there is a loss. There is a sense of loss. My kids aren't in diapers anymore. You're excited about that until you realize, oh man, they're going to be too old for piggyback rides pretty soon. But by the grace of God, we can experience friendship with our kids as an adult and then have the blessings of them still being littles for grandkids. There's a whole separate episode there. We need to get like a guest speaker for that.
We do. We do. And because as our kids get older, I love how we just become a support system for them.
Yeah.
And grandkids, from everyone I've heard, and as my mother reminded me this weekend, I'm pretty sure the grandkids mean more to her than I do.
That's true.
It is like this reward God has built in for parenting well. And it is a blessing in your later years in life. And we, this job, so to speak, that God has given us, this role as parents,
Isn't God good? What a job.
it is. And it's a rewarding blessing, even on those days where we want to beat our head against the wall and just we crave silence. One day that silence will be deafening in the house. And God has given this to us as a great joy to be enjoyed as a good gift.
It's a whole lot of fun.
It's a whole lot of fun. It's so much fun. And my prayer for us, kind of as we wrap this up, and the goal of this episode is to remind us, man, there's a purpose here. We want to see our kids and have been given the responsibility to raise our kids to become men and women who stand on their own and live for the glory of God. And that comes with great reward, not just in this life, but in the one to come. And I think
Absolutely.
that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, our time is running up, although honestly, we could probably We're going to revisit this topic at some point in time. There's a whole lot more here, a lot of meat left on this bone, but we're going to wrap it up for now. So thank you guys for listening. Again, if there's anything we can do to pray for you on this journey, shoot us an email, call the church, stop us in the hallway. If you give me a cup of coffee, you'll have at least 20 minutes of my undivided attention. So that is a promise. So we'll talk to you guys later.